This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for your smartphone, tablet and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international programme of the non-profit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, are...
Kay Shaw and...
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, today we are going to be comparing our favorite episodes from Season 1 of Voyager, but we're not just going to be doing our favorite episodes. We're going to up the ante. We're going to raise the stakes. We're going to be talking about the three episodes we would take with us if we could only take three episodes to a desert island. Maybe a desert island stuck in the Delta Quadrant.
Is Chakotay on this island?
It's Chakotay Island.
I didn't say your top three fan fiction pieces.
Oh, darn.
Suzanne.
But still, can I bring Chakotay to the island? Or is that against the rules?
It's your island, sure.
Sweet.
Is it Chakotay Island? I'm more of a Janeway Atoll girl myself. But anyway.
this isn't which three characters would you take with you to the
island. I just want one.
Because that's easy. That would be a very short episode if we were doing that.
Let's see. Which three characters would we be stuck with on a desert island?
I just want one.
Which three characters? Are we seriously asking this now? Which three characters?
Yeah, we're seriously asking this, absolutely, before we get
started
on the
real topic. Which three characters were we stuck on Desert Island? Kira, Jadzia Dax, and...
Oh, I meant from Voyager.
From Voyager. She just wanted to say Kira.
Oh. Yeah, okay. You said which three characters, you didn't say what from. I was just straight off on
I kind of thought I was implying from Star Trek, and a subset of that, I kind of thought I was implying Voyager, but...
Fine, okay.
Well, if I can pick from all of Star Trek, ooh.
I'd take Chakotay.
I will arm wrestle you for Chakotay.
He's handy to have around. Oh, we can have a timeshare or something, I guess.
Okay.
Are we not all going to the same island?
No, your own island, your own private island.
Is it?
Then it wouldn't be a desert island, would it?
It could still be a desert.
This isn't Maui, this is a desert island. This isn't Neelix's resort program.
See, I was hoping that we could make this whole thing easier by all going to the same desert island, and then we could have, like, nine picks instead of three.
Our own territories on the island.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who would I take to desert island?
Well, it can't be the same island, because then Chakotay would just have to go from your quarters to your quarters to your quarters. He'd just be making the rounds the whole time.
What's wrong with that?
Hey, he's not coming to my quarters, dude.
He's going to mine.
He can come round for dinner and then go back to Suzanne's after. That'll just fine.
Yes, please feed him and send him home.
That'd suit me absolutely fine. I'll feed him and send him home. Yes, I won't burn my food out the replicator. Not burn my pot roast or whatever I'm making. Oh, that's difficult. I don't know.
It depends on whether we're talking practical or whether we're talking whimsical.
Yeah, I think I'd want Tom Paris because I think he's fun. You know, you'd have fun on a desert island with Tom Paris. Mm-hmm. He'd be coming up with all kinds of, like... I don't know, rope swings and climbing trees and all that type of thing.
He's like the monkey.
He's like the monkey.
No monkeys.
I haven't read that fan fiction where Tom Paris is the monkey.
Tuvok has been the monkey before because he likes to interrupt everything.
Yes. You'd have to take Janeway. She's good to have around in the crisis.
Yes.
You'd have to have B'Elanna because B'Elanna would be able to fix things.
Well, you have to have the doctor in case you get sick.
True.
I was thinking the Delaney sisters and
of course you were. Now, would the Delaney sisters count as one or two?
Wait, is this like the two-part episode problem? Do we count two-part episodes as one or two? So the Delaney sisters count as one?
One or two. I think if we're going with the two-part episode rule that we're about to implement,
so they just count as one.
Delaney sisters count as one.
Yeah. Wait, I get to count them once and get both of them? That's awesome.
Man.
It's like a Memorial Day sale.
I'm having 7 of 9 at that stage.
I would like Seska before she was revealed as a Cardassian spy.
You want Bajoran Seska?
Yes.
Would you want a Bajoran Seska who is secretly a Cardassian still, or would you want a Seska who is always Bajoran and has never been Cardassian?
A non-Cardassian Seska, please.
Non-Cardassian Seska, okay.
Because she got pretty evil. I don't want evil Seska on the island. She'd have to be voted off.
We all know Bajorans are the best, so.
And who was the best Bajoran ever?
I'm not going to say, because you're going to be mean to me.
I'm going to read your mind and say it's Kira.
A little bit.
Yeah, I knew it.
I don't know how you guessed that. It's not like I've ever mentioned it. Anyway, we're supposed to be talking about Voyager.
Oh, we're supposed to be talking about episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that we started out our entire show on a tangent. We didn't even get into the actual topic yet. We just started with a tangent.
It's what we do best.
Yay. It is. We do a good tangent. We were talking about desert islands. It's related.
Yeah.
So this is a hard topic. This isn't just a matter of like, oh, these are like my four or five favorite episodes. These are like the three that you, if you could only take three with you, which three would they be? Forgetting the rest of the season, like they're dead to us.
It was really difficult because I'm like, really I don't want to leave this one behind or this one.
Yeah.
So I actually have a list of five and one honorable mention, but I'm going to force myself in the moment, in real time, to whittle it down and stick to the rules.
Yes. Don't break the rules. Who do you think you are? Me?
I was actually kind of surprised I had such a hard time picking three because season one isn't very long and I don't remember there being as many good episodes as there really are. And I had a hard time picking three.
I think season one of Voyager is really, really good, actually. I think it's probably one of the better season ones out of all the Star Treks. Definitely better than season one of Next Gen.
Oof.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
There are some...
some humdingers in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll start off, and right off the bat, I'm going to say I have to make a hard choice, because, like I said, I've got a list of five with one honorable mention, and one of these two is getting cut, so here's the two. One of my choices either has to be Eye of the Needle or Emanations.
I chose Eye of the Needle!
And I have to cut one of those. I have to cut one of those to make room for my other two picks. So, I'm going to keep Eye of the Needle.
I have Eye of the Needle as well.
Are we all on the same desert island? Because... you know, we could be strategic.
We're sharing
about
episodes.
Only if I get the Delaney sisters to myself.
You can have the Delaney sisters to yourself. That's fine.
You can have Chakotay. I'll take the Delaney sisters.
And I'll have 7 of 9.
We'll just draw a line in our desert sand.
It's the happiest island ever.
It is.
So, this was a hard choice for me, though, because I love Emanations. We did an episode of To the Journey on Emanations. But I love Eye of the Needle. I like that it establishes the loneliness of being lost in the Delta Quadrant. Like, they're trying to get home. It just, to me, it's like a little microcosm of the entire show in a bottle.
I love that it incorporates Romulans. I love Romulans. And this is our only chance to see them in Voyager. Unfortunately, he's a Romulan from the past, so that's not good.
Remember that episode you get the micro wormhole?
Yes.
And that is such a Voyager thing.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, I do really like this episode, actually. I toyed with putting this on my list, but it ended up as number 4, so.
Aww.
I'm glad you guys have put it in. So.
And you get Captain Janeway in a pink nightie, and you do? How do you go wrong with that?
Yeah.
So. You can't get enough of that.
That'll get me through those long desert nights.
No, it's a great episode. It is. The only criticism I have of it, really, is that it's the trying to get us home too early, or possibility of getting us home too early syndrome, which I would have liked to have seen this be the season one finale.
That would have been nice, yeah.
Rather than being so early on. I think that would have probably worked better, but I wouldn't really change anything about it.
That, and to end season one on such a down note would have been great. Instead of the way, you know, season one ended, which was just confusing. It's like, ooh, what's that about?
I don't think that was originally meant to be the end, though,
no,
was it?
It wasn't.
There was 4 episodes that were supposed to be in the end of season one that got pushed into season 2.
We're talking about learning curve, right?
Yeah.
That is actually one of my picks.
What?
Oh, is it?
You're nuts.
I would keep learning
curve. You're crazy.
Curve. No, I love learning curve. You guys don't like learning curve?
I don't dislike it, but I wouldn't pick it as
one of my three episodes
I'd take to a desert island. No.
No, there's some better ones.
I just picture, is it Crewman Chell running around the cargo bay?
That's pretty funny, but...
Get Chakotay, you know, doing it the Maquis
way.
This is
the Maquis way. Bam!
Yeah, no, that is good. I do like that bit. That's the best bit from that episode.
Yes.
But I would have switched that. That would have worked for me. If you just switched those two episodes, actually. If you'd had Learning Curve where Eye of the Needle goes and Eye of the Needle where Learning Curve goes, I think that would have worked better.
Well, yeah, because Learning Curve needed to happen so much sooner than it did.
Yeah, I think if you just switch those two episodes, then season one would just progress that bit better, I think. Yeah. So that would have been nice to see.
So you guys wouldn't keep Learning Curve. That would go.
Yeah.
Learning Curve would go.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Hmm. Learning Curve's gone. Well, it's gone with Zach anyway.
I don't know why I would keep it. It's really not the best episode by a long shot. It's one that just always makes me laugh every time I watch that episode, and I would just keep it for the laughs.
I don't think it's supposed to make you laugh.
It totally does.
It is pretty funny, to be fair. It is funny. And, you know, it's a nice Tuvok episode. Character episode for Tuvok. I like it. I don't dislike it as an episode, but I don't dislike it as one of my tops.
Yeah, but I'm not taking it to the desert island if I can only have three episodes.
No. I should probably throw one out, shouldn't I, since I haven't had one
yet. Yeah, yeah. I've already given away two.
I'm trying to decide which one I want to say first, actually. I'm gonna pick Parallax actually first. I'm gonna pick Parallax. I love Parallax. I couldn't do without taking that with me.
I do enjoy Parallax.
What do you love about it?
I like the whole Janeway and B'Elanna science bonding.
Yeah, two women science in the science whilst the men all sit round the table looking
confused.
At each other. Yeah, I couldn't not take this with me. I really love that. And I love that we get that so early on in Voyager's run where it really sort of sets up the fact that this is how it's going to be, you know.
Yeah.
This is a series where we've got a woman captain and the dynamic that we're going to see on screen is going to be different to what we've seen in the other shows. I mean, DS9 does pretty well with the women sciencing the science, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's nice to see that established early on that Janeway's not just the captain, she's also a scientist as well. In a way that Picard isn't, for example, and a way that Sisko isn't. We see that she's got this passion for science, and I really like seeing that so early.
And she can space FaceTime in her pink nightie. Yep.
What can't she do in that
pink
nightie?
You're obsessed with that nightie, Zach.
Well, no, I'm serious. I mean, in season one, they're really driving these points home with Captain Janeway. She's a scientist, and she wears a pink nightie, and her hair's up. She's serious. No, she's beautiful. No, she makes you laugh.
Look.
She's got it all.
She's a scientist and a girl.
And she likes coffee.
Girls could like science, too. But yeah, it's brilliant. I just love it. And I really like the scene at the beginning with B'Elanna and Chakotay. After B'Elanna's punched Carrie and she's been sent to her quarters, and then Chakotay walks in to say, "What the heck's going on?" and she just throws that thing in and hits him in the face. I love that scene.
He should have been expecting that. I mean, really, he knows B'Elanna.
Yeah, he should. He knows her, yeah. And I really like that at the end, she gets the position and she almost can't believe that she's actually being given the opportunity and somebody's having that faith in her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost, it feels like that's all she really needed to set her on this path towards bettering herself and getting herself into a position where she's much happier with where her life's going. So I just love that episode all round. So that's got to stay for me. I can't leave that one behind.
That is a good one. Good choice. Good choice.
Thank you.
And does such a great job of establishing the B'Elanna character when she punches Lieutenant Carrie.
Definitely. You know not to mess with her. Just listen.
And I think even Captain Janeway can barely believe that she made B'Elanna chief engineer. I mean, granted, by the end, she recognizes that B'Elanna is a better engineer than Carrie, but I think, you know, she kind of has to talk herself into it.
Yeah. Well, when Chakotay suggests it in the first place, because we're still calling him that at this point.
Yes, we are.
When he suggests it in the first place, she just looks at him like he's crazy. She's like, "What are you even talking about?"
That is one of the best Chakotay moments ever, when she says, "You can't be serious." And he says, "Very."
Yeah.
I wanted her to say, "Surely you can't be serious." And then, of course, Chakotay comes back with, "Of course I'm serious, and don't call me Shirley."
So Chakotay in little moment. Yeah,
yeah, it's just simplistic. Yes, why would you not think that I was serious? Very straightforward. So.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, I actually meant you should make Neelix chief engineer.
Well, you know, Neelix can do a bit of engineering. He must have been able to keep his shuttle thingy running around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all Neelix wants is to be a security officer.
All he wants is a Starfleet uniform. I don't think he's worried about the position too much.
Okay, so that's a good pick, Kay. How about you, Suzanne? What's your first pick?
I have to go with Caretaker.
Oh, good. I'm glad somebody picked it.
Because it's it introduces everyone to us, especially Chakotay and his leather. Right away, there he is on my screen. So that's a definite pick. Another hilarious moment from Caretaker that I could not live without. As much as Neelix gets on my nerves, Neelix in the bathtub. One of the best. He just looks so excited and happy to be in that bathtub. And I'm like, I understand you, Neelix. I get that way too.
As well.
I understand that happiness. Bathtubs are wonderful.
Rub-a-dub-dub, three Talaxians in your tub. I think that's the thing with Caretaker. I would like take scenes from Caretaker. I wouldn't want to sacrifice one of my other picks for Caretaker, but if I could like add on a couple of clips from different scenes from Caretaker and take those with me along with my three picks, I would totally do
that. But see, I get 2 hours in one pick. So that...
Yeah, you do.
That makes it even more special.
It's the Delaney sisters rule, right? I remember.
Yes.
I kind of cheated in the way that I figured that I've seen Caretaker so many more times, I think, than most of the episodes, because I have watched it quite a lot of times. I can pretty much remember it, so I don't need to take it with me.
Like, I'm trying to think of other scenes I would take from Caretaker. Like, I wouldn't sacrifice my other three to take Caretaker, but if I could pick scenes, I would pick Captain Janeway's speech at the end.
Yeah, that's amazing.
One crew, one ship.
There's actually another little scene from Caretaker I would keep. But I'm not going to say what it is because...
Why not?
I've nearly talked about that scene and why it means a lot to me a few times, but I'm saving it for when we have an episode where we talk about stuff like that.
Are you bogarting your thoughts? Come on.
Yes, I am.
You're supposed to share with us, Kay.
I'm saving it. We're going to do an episode at some point where we talk about particular bits of Voyager that have deep and meaningful significance to us. And I'm saving it for that.
That sounds too deep for me to be involved in that episode. I don't think I could do that.
You can cope. It's fine. We won't talk about real life, I promise.
Thank you. Please don't make me cry again.
No, I won't. Yeah, I love Caretaker. It's brilliant. We talked about it quite a lot when we had Bruce on. But I do really love it. I think it just sets up the series incredibly well.
I would also take the scene from Caretaker where Harry Kim says, "I don't need anyone to choose my friends for me." That's another scene I would steal. So I'd take like 3.5 episodes. See, I can't stick to the rules.
You can't have 3.5, Zach. You're going to have to leave half of one of your others behind.
I'm really bad about following our own rules.
You can't just like have pick a mix. You can't just go, "I'm going to make... you know, 3 times 42.5 minutes up out of like this scene, this scene, this scene, this scene, this scene." That's not how it works. It's 3 episodes. Come on.
That is a much harder challenge than just picking 3 episodes.
It will be quite a challenge. It'd be fun to do that, though. We should do that.
Let's see, 42.5 minutes times 3. What is that? 100 and how many minutes is that?
Don't make me do math.
It'd be what? 127.5. 127.5. Yeah, minutes worth of scenes.
That would be a tough exercise, but it'd be quite fun. It'd take forever to do, but...
What if it were like from all of Voyager? Like, you have 3 episodes worth of scenes, and you get to pick from all of Star Trek Voyager.
Oh my God, that would take me forever to compile that list.
Oh, wow.
That would be tough.
Mine would just be Janeway Chakotay moments, all, like, spliced together.
Suzanne would be the shipper's tour.
It would be the shipper bundle.
The shipper bundle.
The shipper bundle.
Perfect Christmas present.
So, Suzanne, you would have the shipper bundle. And Kay, what would your Voyager pack be called?
Oh, I don't know. It would be a mixture of everything. I mean, it would have some Janeway and Chakotay stuff in there, but I'd have lots of other stuff as well. I don't even know. That would be so difficult to try and pick that out. I'd have to think about it for months.
We'll check back in with you later on that.
What about you, Zach?
I don't know.
Maybe we'll have to, like, redo this Desert Island thing, but we'll have to do it with like our top 10 scenes out of each series.
But I already gave my answer. I can skip that week.
But you'd have to pick 10. There's going to be more than 10 in some of them.
Oh, and I can't count entire episodes, can I? Because you guys get on to me about that, which I don't.
An entire episode is not a moment.
Yes, it is.
You never follow the rules.
I followed them this week. Anyway. Zach didn't follow them.
Yeah, Zach was the naughty one this week.
No, I'm whittling my list down in real time.
He's whittling.
I'm following the rules. Performative whittling.
You're supposed to have decided 3 beforehand, which is what I did.
There is no whittling here.
I agonized over my choices.
I had to kind of talk it through with you guys. Okay, so we're going to continue whittling my list down in real time. To complete my list of 3, the last 2 episodes I have to choose between are Heroes and Demons and Prime Factors.
Ew, creepy dude. No. Oh, no, no. No creepy dude.
Oh, you are not going to love what I have to say then. I am going to cut Heroes and Demons as much as I love it, and I'm going to keep Prime Factors.
Evil.
Wow.
Evil.
Boy, my picks are not scoring points with you guys tonight.
How could you cut Heroes and Demons?
I cut it.
But over Prime Factors?
I think Factors just has some cool stuff. It's got the space theremin, and it's got the whatever the thing is that sends them 40,000 light years away. I forget the name of the
device. But it's got creepy dude. It's not pleasurable at all.
I do find it a pleasurable episode to watch.
You're a sick man.
And it has freaky sex wind.
Yes, it does.
What?
I forgot about that freaky druggy wind.
Yeah. Go on, Zach. Sell Prime Factors to us. Come on.
That's it. It's got the space theremin. It's got the cool device. It's got pecan pie.
You didn't say it right. Pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie. It's hard to kind of identify why I like this episode so much, but it is one of my favorite episodes in season 1. I find it, again, kind of lighthearted. I can rewatch it again and again and again. I can rewatch this episode more than I can rewatch Heroes and Demons.
Fair enough.
That's all. It's got total rewatchability for me.
Well, you take that with you and don't bring it on my part of the island.
You enjoy Prime Factors in your little coconut shack corner. Okay, well, I'm going to go on to my next one then, which I thought about picking, and I compared it with a few, and I thought about picking a few different ones, but I decided in the end to go with this one. So I picked Jatrell as my next pick.
Ooh, that was my honorable mention.
I really like Jatrell because I feel like we see more depth in Neelix this episode than we do pretty much the rest of the show. And there's just some really intense emotional stuff in there.
Oh, definitely.
So here's the thing with me and Jatrell. I think if I weren't faced with being stuck on a desert island, I would add this to my list of favorites, absolutely. But if I'm stuck on a desert island, I don't care at all about moral dilemmas anymore, and I would ditch Jatrell.
You thought about that way more than I did in terms of like how this would actually work on a desert island. No, I like my serious thinky episodes. So I had to have a serious thinky episode in there.
I do enjoy that it gives Neelix a backstory. Mm. It fleshes him out a bit more than we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Over on Metatrex, I would have so much to talk about with this episode, but if I'm picking my 3 to take with me on a desert island, that's not why I'm picking my 3.
Yeah, I'm not taking that one with me either. I'm not taking any downer episodes.
I want more pleasure than that.
Yuck.
I just love it. There's a lot of nice moments in it as well. There's a lot of nice sentimental moments in it, and I'm a massive sentimental crier, so
I hadn't noticed.
No, not at all. Yeah, Primitive Culture, which is our newest show on the network, actually talked about this one quite extensively recently. So
that was a great episode.
You should all listen to that episode. It was a really great episode, actually, and they really picked out a lot from that. So I agreed with a lot of what they had to say about Jatrell and what it's sort of echoes through history and what the writers were trying to do with it. But I really like the fact that we have this guy in there who's got this. He's spent his life basically trying to do penance for something that he did, which you could go into questions for hours and hours about how much he was or wasn't responsible for what happened. But I just really find it interesting. And I like the fact that, as you said, Suzanne, we get a lot of depth to Neelix here.
I think the concept of guilt resonates with me. You know, if anyone who's done something they're not proud of, you know, will feel guilty, and that can just kind of eat at you for a long time. And this episode I find really relatable, but I wouldn't take it with me on a desert island.
Yeah. I have a sneaking suspicion that mine and Suzanne's last pick is going to be the same one.
Is it the one with the best quotes out of all of season one?
It is the best episode of season one, and I will fight anybody who tries to say it's not.
Hands down, it is. And that would be The Cloud.
The Cloud.
The Cloud! There's coffee in that nebula!
There is coffee in that nebula. It has so many great quotes. I love The Cloud. There's nothing not to like about The Cloud, in my opinion.
No.
I just think it's fab.
See, now you've got me second-guessing my picks, and that's not
good. Wish you'd pick The Cloud now.
I don't know. I still like the other episodes more, I think, but...
Well, you know, if you don't make us come over and watch Prime Factors, we might let you come over and watch it occasionally.
I mean, you get you get Neelix calling them, these people are natural-born idiots, if you ask me, because he doesn't want to go back into the cloud. And then he goes in and confronts Captain Janeway about it, says, Kes and I are just going to hang out in my shuttle and wait for you guys to come back. She's like, no. Just like Jonah and the whale, you're going in. I love that.
Yeah.
So it's a deal. When you guys come visit me in my little desert island hut, I won't make you watch Prime Factors, and I get to bring the Delaney sisters over to your guys' couches and watch this episode.
Yeah.
From time to time.
Yeah.
Because if you make me watch Prime Factors, you're never coming over to my side of the island again.
Yes, our weird triangular island that we have.
You're going to banish me to my own little Delta Quadrant of the island? Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Sounds good to me. No, The Cloud is genius. Absolute genius. I love everything about it. I love the Janeway and Chakotay stuff. You know, we get
him sitting on the floor
teaching
together.
Her how to contact her spirit guide.
Spirit guide!
Yeah, we get to see Janeway's little spirit guide, little lizard thingy.
They hold hands. It's great.
Yeah.
So many fanfics.
Yeah, oh, so many. And we get to find out that B'Elanna tried to kill her spirit guide, which amused me a lot as well.
Which you can totally see B'Elanna doing that.
Yes, absolutely.
Totally.
Absolutely. And also, we have to talk about the ending of this episode. Captain Janeway, pool ringer.
Well, I would go a little bit before that when B'Elanna is on the holodeck in Sandrine's with Tom and everybody else, and the gigolo kind of hits on her. She's like, Paris, did you program this guy? He's like, yeah. He's a pig. And so are you.
And so are you.
That is just perfect for B'Elanna. I love that.
It is beautiful. But as much as we love that there's coffee in that nebula quote, and I do have that on a mug.
Yes.
The best quote from this episode is, Commander, your stick.
Yes. I love that. Love that.
Commander Chakotay, your stick.
But actually, my absolute favorite quote, as much as I love the Your Stick one, which also launched quite a bit of fanfic, would be in Captain Janeway's ready room. She's done talking with Neelix. Dismissed.
Oh, gosh.
That's a Starfleet expression.
That's
for
Starfleet.
Get out. I actually used to have that set up when I closed out my AOL instead of goodbye. It was dismissed. That's a Starfleet expression. Get out.
Get out.
Yes!
Yeah, so this episode's amazing. It's awesome. We love it. It's fab.
I think what's fun about thinking through this exercise is that you really can pick only three episodes out of that first season and get a really great sense of who all the characters are.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe not from Prime Factors.
But... No, because it's not at all pleasurable.
You get a sense of where Harry's going, though, with his... Valiances yes, with alien women.
And his druggy winds.
His druggy winds, yeah. He's easily seduced by a druggy wind.
And there were some really great doctor quotes in The Cloud. Why are we pretending to go home at all? All we're going to do is investigate every cubic centimeter of this quadrant, aren't we?
Yes. I told you before, Janeway's philosophy is never let getting home faster get in the way of science.
Exactly. Science comes first.
Yeah.
But in season one, these are all new ideas and they become memes, right? We know that Captain Janeway's going to stop to investigate every little spatial anomaly that she encounters, but that was new in season one.
Yeah, that's true. With hindsight, we're like, oh yeah, obviously.
So before we call it an episode, we should probably do a recap for everyone. So Suzanne, why don't you run through your three picks and tell us any episodes you for sure aren't taking with you as well?
Well, my three picks are Caretaker, The Cloud, and Eye of the Needle. The ones that for sure are not making it onto my part of the island, Prime Factors, Learning Curve.
Hey, now.
And Time and Again. Don't want Time and Again.
Oh, I don't mind Time and Again.
Oh, also Ex Post Facto, because it was bad enough the first time they did it with Riker.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that episode particularly.
Yeah, of all the episodes in season one, that's probably the most forgettable for me, honestly.
Yeah.
That's not happening in my part of the island. How about you, Kay?
Okay, so my picks were Parallax, The Cloud, and Jatrell. And anything that wouldn't make it onto my list, well, maybe we're being a bit harsh on Prime Facts, I don't know.
No,
I feel like we're just saying we completely hate it now.
You guys are downright mean to Prime Factors.
I think it's because we talked about it and I've watched it recently. I think if I hadn't seen it for ages, I'd probably be like, oh, I've forgotten how weird it is.
It's just so creepy.
You guys are, you're hurting Pleasure Guy's feelings.
It's fine. He'll be bored of us in a week or two anyways. I don't know whether I would have any definite knots out of the others. I mean, there's probably others I'm not keen on Ex Post Facto either, really.
Yeah, of everything in season one, that's the one I would probably jettison if I had to jettison
because
one.
Because we've seen it before. Why rehash that Riker story?
And I didn't really care for that episode of TNG either, really, honestly.
No, not particularly. Do you want to run us through your picks then, Zach?
Okay, so I started out with a list of five and one honorable mention. I started out with a list of Eye of the Needle, Emanations, Prime Factors, Heroes and Demons, Learning Curve, and I had an honorable mention of Jatrell. Of those, I decided to keep Eye of the Needle and jettison Emanations. I kept Prime Factors, much to your guys' annoyance. I jettisoned Heroes and Demons as much as I... As much as I love the Beowulf story, I jettisoned Heroes and Demons, and I kept Learning Curve, which also made you guys snicker. Go ahead, laugh it out. Get it out of your systems.
I don't mind it. I just wouldn't pick it as one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you like it, cool.
I do. I watch. When I go back to season one, I always watch Learning Curve.
But those are the only three you can watch from season one.
I know, but I do watch it every time when I go back to season one. So it's one of my go-to episodes. So I've got to take it with me because I already watch it all the time anyway.
So the only other one that I toyed with putting on my list that nobody mentioned was Cathexis.
I toyed with that as well. That's a good one.
It's a Chakotay episode, and yet it's not a Chakotay episode because he's not really in it.
He just lays on the bed.
Yeah. But again, great character stuff. Great character stuff in that episode. We talked quite a bit about the scene with B'Elanna and Chakotay in sickbay when we did our B'Elanna and Chakotay episode, but I love that one. I do really like that scene.
But it didn't make your list.
No. It was probably number five after.
I was going to say that was a number four for
me. I am the needle at number four. So there we go.
Well, you guys, even though you ridiculed me for my picks, it's been fun talking about our choices for top three episodes to take with us on a desert island from season one of Star Trek Voyager. But this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere around the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Melodic Treks.
I think one of the things, though, that still attracts me to his music is that whole dissonance. Having something be not quite perfect. Two notes that seem like they should be on, but one of them's just slightly off. Not enough to be flat or sharp, but just enough to make you notice. And he uses that a lot in his music.
Literary Treks.
It's not just about Q. Do you remember Trelane from the original series? The episode The Squire of Gothos? He was played by William J. Campbell, a.k.a. Koloth, but Trelane's character in the original series is very similar to what we got later with Q, and he may have been some of the inspiration behind the Q character.
Saturday Morning Trek.
The line that I thought was really interesting, "Twist me Widdershins," mean a direction contrary to the sun's course, considered as unlucky, counterclockwise. So instead of saying, "Twist me counterclockwise," they said, "Twist me Widdershins."
So they use the word Widdershins?
Widdershins.
That's a word?
Yes.
That's
that apparently
a real world.
A child in 1973 should have known, apparently.
Wow. That is... I missed that, and I don't ever want to hear the word. It's a terrible word. It's a terrible word.
The Ready Room.
Well, Larry, you know, in this case, in the writer's room, the real question on Discovery right now is to hoof or not to hoof.
Oh, no. Well, my thing is to three-finger or to five-finger. So,
right. Yeah. What will they do with the Tellarite hands?
I mean, the Klingon forehead's got an example, an answer. When are we ever going to have a reason for what happened to the five-fingered Tellarites versus the, yeah.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link. Well, speaking of iTunes reviews, we do have a new iTunes review in the Apple App Store by Dr. Leo 77, and Dr. Leo 77 tells us that Trek is my coffee and Trek FM is the nebula. There is zero doubt in my mind.
Perfect.
A little nod to that's a lovely coffee nebula here for To the Journey.
I'm guessing he likes the cloud too.
I'm guessing he does like the cloud too.
Speaking of the cloud.
Who doesn't like the cloud? Really? Seriously?
Well, obviously Zachary, because it's not going on his part of the island.
In any case, thanks to Dr. Leo 77 for that great comment. You're supportive to the journey, and we are pleased to be the cream in your Trek FM coffee.
Yay!
Well, yeah, and we do always love to hear any thoughts you have about our shows. This week, we'd love to hear your three picks for your desert island. So let us know those. There are loads of ways you can do that. The best place to join in the conversation is in the Babel Conference, which is our listeners group on Facebook. If you type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field, it should come right on up. If you would like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website. That's at trek.fm/contact. If you choose message to a show and select To the Journey, that will come right to all three of us. You can also find the network on Twitter at trekfm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. So, Zach, when you are not hiding in your hut watching Prime Factors like a hermit, where can our listeners find you?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on the Trek FM network as co-host of Metatrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy, along with my co-host over there, Mike Morrison. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you want to talk about Star Trek and Voyager with me over there. And you can find me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And how about you, Suzanne, when you're not sneaking a peek at Commander Chakotay through a micro wormhole, where can our listeners find you on the Trek FM network and around the interwebs?
You can find me hanging out in the Babel Conference, or you can find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. That's the letter K, Janeway, and the number 8. So, Kay, when you're not running away from Neelix's better-than-coffee substitute, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on the network on the most recent episode of The Ready Room. That's episode 212, talking about workforce. You can also find me in the Babel Conference. And if you want to look me up on Twitter, my handle is Choco Weeble.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. Available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We'd like to thank everyone that helps to bring To the Journey to you every week. We'd like to thank C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek FM, our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shea Metalla, our Patreon manager. We would also like to give a really big shout out to our three associate producers here on To the Journey, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, and Richard Marquez. Thank you very much for your support of Trek FM.
Well, be sure to join us next time when we'll be settling in for a nice cozy spot on Neelix's Desert Island Resort program for our Friday night rewatch of The Cloud. But until then, this has been To the Journey.